Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
What God did for us was He came in the person of Jesus so that He could reveal Himself to us. What we learn from this is that God is not a God who wants to remain in the distance in hiding, but that He is a God of revelation.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series You'll See, as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAllen.org. That's PastorAllen.org. Or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But right now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
Are you ready for some good news? In this time of, in many ways, unprecedented uncertainty, we are aware of how little our minds understand. But I have good news today that Paul says we who are in Christ have, as part of our inheritance, as part of who we are as the people of God, we have the mind of Christ. When we are trying to understand what we don't yet understand, it's frightening to us, but there's also something powerfully reassuring for the Christian that Paul speaks of, that we have the very mind of Christ. What does he mean? And what does it mean for us? We're in a series, it's called You'll See, and it's all about the power and life transformation that takes place when you see with the eyes of Jesus. We're practicing a simple prayer. Jesus, how do you see this? And what an important time to ask that very question. How do you see it? It'll bring peace to your heart. We are in an intriguing passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 7, the words of the Apostle Paul. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things. It really means more discerns, not judge like judging people, but discerning all things, but is himself to be judged or discerned by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I can't read this text without thinking about a precious, precious saint who was a woman of faith and power, an intercessory leader, not only in our church, but in our community for many years, at the forefront of the great renewal movement, starting back in the 70s and working with women. Her name was Dee Dennison. I wish everybody could have known Dee Dennison. And every time I read this text, I remember a moment as a young pastor when Dee Dennison interrupted my prayer. Here's what happened. We had a precious lady in the church who for a number of years had miraculously overcome a life-threatening cancer all before I arrived here at Rinalda Church in 1996. And shortly after I arrived, the dear lady became sick again. And the cancer had returned after God had extended her life more than any doctors had imagined. And I went over and prayed with her, and she and her husband went down to be with some family in South Carolina. And while they were there, the dear lady, she grew more ill, and we received a phone call that she would cherish it if we could come and pray for her. And I was maybe a year or so into the pastorate here. I was delighted to go, and thankfully we had an elder with a private plane who said he'd be happy to fly us down there so that we could pray. So Pilot Elder Bob Roach and I were going to go, and I invited Dee Dennison to go with us because she is a woman of prayer. She was also someone who knew this dear lady very well. And so we got into the little praying. We went down and had a rental car that we were taking over to the house to go pray. And as we were riding in the car over to go pray, I said, well, let me lead us in some prayer as we prepare our hearts to go and minister to this lady. And it was a situation where the woman was very sick. And you know, you wonder sometimes, is this the time the Lord's going to just give her the ultimate healing and bring her home? How do you pray in a situation like this? What do you? And so my prayer was going something like this. Oh, Lord, we do love you, and we thank you for this opportunity to come and minister and pray in the name of Jesus. And, oh, Lord, you know all of our frailties. And I went on and on about our frailties. Lord, you know, we just know so little. I mean, by the time that I had prayed for another 5 minutes, I had reduced us all down to grasshoppers. Oh, Lord, we just really don't know how to pray. We don't know how to minister. And I just was going on, and I was telling the Lord over and over how little we know and really, in a sense, how incompetent, you know, we were. And it went on, this prayer of mine as a young pastor, for some time until finally Sister D could not take it any longer, and she interrupted my prayer, and she said, but I do thank you, Lord, that we have the mind of Christ. She just interrupted. She could no longer amen my pitiful little prayer, and I realized I needed to stop my line of prayer and just let D pray. And she said, thank you, we have the mind of Christ, and you're going to lead us in how to do this ministry. So who was right? Me, the young pastor who said, Lord, we know so little, our minds are so frail, or this woman of faith and power who said we have the mind of Christ? Well, in a sense, we were both right, but she was in the higher truth. I want to talk about the mind of Christ. We've been talking about the power of seeing. When you see something, then you have a new level of understanding. And that's in many ways what our text is about today. It makes me think of the farmer's commercial. We've all been seeing the familiar sight of, we are farmers, don't, you know, and then he comes on and he says, well, we know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. And then they start showing us all these different commercials, you know, like a gopher that steals a wedding ring and said, yeah, it really happened and we covered it. Or a bear that destroys somebody's backyard freestanding swimming pool. Yep, we've seen that. We covered that too. And a lightning bolt that hits a lawnmower so that some dude doesn't have to mow the lawn. Oh, we've seen that and we've covered that. And a bull moose that tears up a swing set in somebody's backyard. And yeah, we've seen that and we'll cover that too. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Well, it is to say that there is a relationship between what you see and what you understand. So much of life is like that. The imagery of our text is about seeing, like at verse 9, what no eye has seen. At verse 10, here's the phrase, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. What does it mean for something to be revealed? Well, it means it was covered up and then it was uncovered, so then it's revealed. Whatever you can't see, if there's something that has been covering it, once the cover is removed, then you can see it. It's like playing peekaboo. You can't see me, now you do. That's, in a sense, what revelation means.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Seeing as Jesus sees. It's the title of Pastor Alan's newest book, soon to be released, and it's the giant secret of real transformation. Alan Wright invites readers into a new, simple spiritual practice, a little breath prayer that can be prayed throughout the day. Jesus, how do you see this? It's a prayer that the Savior loves to answer because, after all, Christ came to be the light of the world. Clear away confusion, win over the darkness, and open your heart to wonder and joy by pre-ordering the book today. Though the book releases October 10th, if you pre-order now, you'll receive over $100 of bonus resources. Simply pre-order the book at Amazon or your favorite online bookseller. Visit seeingasjesussees.org or come to our website, pastoralan.org. Give us confirmation that you've pre-ordered the book. And when the book releases, you'll be given a free audiobook from the publisher, and you'll also receive a free 6-week Seeing as Jesus Sees companion video series from Pastor Alan, along with a study guide and a daily reading plan. All these valuable bonus gifts are only for those who pre-order the book, so place your order today with your favorite online book retailer and visit our website for instructions on receiving all the extra resources.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
The word in Greek is one that you'll recognize. Revealed is the word apokalypto. It's a verb that means to uncover so that it can be seen. And everything that makes the gospel good news is built on revelation of God in Jesus Christ. What God did for us was He came in the person of Jesus so that He could reveal Himself to us. What we learn from this is that God is not a God who wants to remain in the distance in hiding, but that He is a God of revelation who in the first place was revealing Himself to all humanity through the glory and wonder of creation, but specifically revealed Himself through the person of Jesus Christ. Revelation means to be able to see what you did not previously see. That really is what an apocalypse is. Apocalypse now has this meaning of both the end of the terrible end of the world. It really just means a revelation. And so to be a Christian is to be a person who walks in revelation. So if we look closer at our text, you realize that there is an ongoing relationship between revelation and wisdom, or between seeing something and having knowledge about what you see. Here, look at the text again. Verse 7, he speaks of imparting a secret and hidden wisdom. At verse 8, he speaks of none of the rulers of this age understood. He's saying, he's speaking of demonic principalities. They didn't see who Christ really was or what was happening at the cross. They didn't understand, therefore. Verse 11, he speaks of the spirit of a person that knows a person's thoughts. Everything in this text is about seeing and knowing. Seeing and knowing. Apocalypse, revelation, accompanied by the wisdom that comes from it. Verse 12, we have received the Spirit of God that we might, what? Understand. There's something that is happening through the revelation of God that lets us understand what we would not understand otherwise. Verse 13, Paul says, we impart words that aren't taught by human wisdom. It's a text about knowing, about wisdom. And verse 14, the natural person is not able to understand spiritual things because they are spiritually discerned. This is about what you see or don't see, and how much of your understanding or wisdom is related to how much you can see. So what is so frightening about this new virus is that it's new to us. And because we understand so little, we have much more fear. We haven't seen it, and we haven't seen how it plays out. Now, the more that we get to see it, the more we'll understand. And the more we'll understand, the less we'll be afraid. So there's a relationship between seeing and knowing and peace. What you see determines what you understand. The world throughout history has been changed by people who have seen what other people had not previously seen. We talk about the great inventors, and there have been many wonderful inventions, and our lives have been changed by technological inventions, absolutely. But what underlies all of those inventions is something greater, and that is discovery. To discover takes exploration. It takes someone who is willing to go to the edge where people haven't been before in order to see what hasn't been seen before. Good movie, recommended movie, Aeronauts. From Amazon Studios retells a story of a scientist and a balloon aeronaut who endeavored to ascend higher than any human had ever ascended before. The movie retells it in a dramatic fashion. The real life story of scientist James Glacier and aeronaut Henry Coxwell tells the real history is of them ascending in the year 1862 to 37,000 feet up in the air in a balloon. It was by far the highest that any human being had ever reached. And before balloons were traveling up into the atmosphere, people had all kinds of crazy beliefs about the atmosphere. They thought it was a factory of death and that there were all kinds of noxious, poisonous fumes and vapors that would kill people there. But these scientists that ascended higher learned all kinds of things, not just about the atmosphere, but it was the beginnings of understanding that we could actually predict the weather. No one had ever imagined we could. Well, this is the nature of discovery. And it's exciting when you see someone who's an adventurer, who's an explorer, who goes somewhere that other people haven't gone. Because when they do that, then they can see things that others have not seen. Discoveries have changed the world. Like Nicholas Copernicus, who in 1543, on his deathbed, this Polish astronomer published his theory that the sun is actually a motionless body at the center of the solar system and that the planets revolve around it. Whoa. Talk about a paradigm shift when someone saw the earth's not the center, the sun's not going around the earth's going around the sun. It wasn't known until he theorized this, he saw it, and it changed not just astronomy, it changed the world as we know it. Or the discovery of gravity. Isaac Newton, who famously, it is said, was sitting under an apple tree and saw an apple fall and began to think until he thought up the idea of gravity. Well, that's not exactly what happened, but the English mathematician and physicist, probably considered the greatest scientist of all time, discovered gravity. And gravity is exceedingly important because I learned from my son, who I asked the question today, and he studied physics, it's important to all the physics principles. I can't go any further than that. But it's important that we know there's gravity. Electricity. We like to think that Ben Franklin discovered electricity when he was flying a kite and sent a key up. Remember the story? Now, he did discover that something about lightning is electricity, but electricity had actually been discovered earlier than that. And if you really want to thank someone for what electricity does for your life, it's Michael Faraday in 1821 who discovered that when a wire carrying an electrical current is placed next to a single magnetic pole, the wire will rotate, and this eventually led to the development of the electric motor. That's all I can say about that. Of course, then the whole world was rocked and all of physics was changed by Albert Einstein, who discovered the theory of relativity, that time, the speed of light remains constant, 186,000 miles a second. And the theory of relativity is so important. And I know it's important because we would not be talking about it right now if it were not important. I don't know. It's really, really important, though. I know that changed all of physics. Let me give you one more. The discovery of penicillin by Alexander Fleming, who went on vacation in 1928. He didn't do a very good job of cleaning his laboratory before heading out on that vacation. And when he came back, he began cleaning the petri dishes on which he'd been experimenting with bacteria, and on one dish he found a mold that was growing, and the area around the mold, the bacteria was gone, and that's how we discovered antibiotics. My whole point of this is to say our lives as we know them have been shaped by discovery. Another way to phrase that, have been shaped by people who saw what others had not seen. A revelation, a eureka, a light that turns on, something that illuminates what had been in the darkness. However you want to term it, it's about seeing that leads to understanding. And when we can't see, we can't understand. And it leads to uncertainty and fear.
Alan Wright. That's today's good news message, The Mind of Christ, from the series You'll See. We have Pastor Alan back in the studio joining us here in just a moment with a parting good news thought for the day. Stick with us.
Seeing as Jesus Sees. It's the title of Pastor Alan's newest book, soon to be released, and it's the giant secret of real transformation. Alan Wright invites readers into a new, simple spiritual practice, a little breath prayer that can be prayed throughout the day. Jesus, how do you see this? It's a prayer that the Savior loves to answer because, after all, Christ came to be the light of the world. Clear away confusion, win over the darkness, and open your heart to wonder and joy by pre-ordering the book today. Though the book releases October 10th, if you pre-order now, you'll receive over $100 of bonus resources. Simply pre-order the book at Amazon or your favorite online bookseller. Visit seeingasjesussees.org or come to our website, pastoralan.org. Give us confirmation that you've pre-ordered the book. And when the book releases, you'll be given a free audiobook from the publisher, and you'll also receive a free 6-week Seeing as Jesus Sees companion video series from Pastor Alan, along with a study guide and a daily reading plan. All these valuable bonus gifts are only for those who pre-order the book, so place your order today with your favorite online book retailer and visit our website for instructions on receiving all the extra resources.
Back now with Pastor Alan in the studio as we share our good news thought for the day and the mind of Christ. It's in the series You'll See. Alan, what's our takeaway today?
Well, you know, Daniel, this is an extraordinary thing to be able to listen in on Paul, who's talking about how we have the mind of Christ. It almost feels like it's too bold of an assertion, almost too good to be true to think of it. But in today's teaching and tomorrow, we're going to learn exactly what does this mean, the mind of Christ. And what we're going to discover is that without the mind of Christ, we just aren't very good at seeing things properly. But when we have the mind of Christ, we can see things in the Spirit. So it's a deep teaching to consider what we mean by the soul, what we mean by the Spirit, and what we mean by the mind of Christ. Dig in with us because it's revelatory and it'll change your perspective on everything.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Allen Wright Ministries.